Good afternoon. Come in, come in. Let me offer you a glass of sherry, a tale or two, and perhaps one of my priceless antiques. Tales of Antiquity. Stories of the romantic past captured through the eyes and ears of Eustace Glean, collector extraordinary. His story for today, A Debt Repaid. I trust you'll find that to your liking. I see you found Miss Victoria Davenport's scent bottle. Now, that's a very interesting little tale. Let me tell you about it. On the northwest coast of Lancashire, facing the Irish Sea, stands the tiny fishing town of Fleerham. And though in recent years it boasted a population of some 25,000, in the year 1900 it was considerably less. Now, the name Entwistle had always featured rather heavily in the registers of birth and death. But our story concerns but one of them, Miss Matilda Entwistle and her cousin Victoria. Now, these two spinsters hadn't set eyes upon each other for some 30-odd years. Matilda lived alone in the house her father had occupied for over 70 years. It was upon the 8th of June, 1900, and Matilda Entwistle was to receive two callers. The first arrived at precisely 10 a.m.
Miss Entwistle?
It was Councillor Hubert Sidibottom, portly and pompous, whose high, polished dome gave every impression of a rather pink ostrich egg. His business, he said, was private, and could they talk inside? Matilda ushered him into her tiny front parlour and bade him be seated.
Only I wouldn't sit on the sofa. The spring's up to me.
Did
you see what I mean?
After which, she offered him elderberry wine, ginger wine, mint or beef tea, all of which he declined, adding,
"It's to do with your father, Miss Entwistle."
At which, she told him that her father had passed on at the age of 94, after a severe fit of hiccuping, commenting,
"Not bad. As many as don't reach 64, and how are you keeping?"
He told her that he was in perfect health, adding peevishly that he'd something to show her. It happened to be a promissory note. Matilda had no idea what that was and said so, and Councillor Sidibottom was obliged to read it out to her.
Well, as I, Edward George Entwistle...
That's father.
That's right. He wrote this note. Edward George Entwistle, being in receipt of a loan of £3,000 from one Hubert Francis Sidibottom, Esquire, do hereby agree to repay the aforementioned sum with 5% interest added within 12 months of the date of this note. As surety against the above-mentioned loan, I do hereby place my property at 27 Beehive Lane, Fleerham, Lancs, together with its entire contents, at the disposal of the lender. Dated and signed 28 February 1899.
Well, I never. Whatever did he want with £3,000?
Councillor Sidibottom said he'd no idea, and it didn't concern him anyway. What did concern him was, when was she going to pay his £3,000 back? She'd no idea, she told him. Where would she find £3,000? At which the council informed her that he would have to give her notice.
Of what?
To quit. In accordance with the terms of this note, this house now belongs to me, plus everything in it.
Everything,
right down to last teaspoon.
Oh.
Matilda's second visitor arrived just as the clock struck 10:30.
Oh, Matilda Entwistle.
It was her cousin Victoria. It had been 33 years. Both had put on a little weight, and their hair had changed colour. Matilda's from brown to grey, and Victoria's from a gentle auburn to flamboyant red. It didn't take long for Victoria to sense there was something wrong, and the whole business of Councillor Sidibottom came tumbling out.
I think I'd like a word with this councillor fella. What's his name?
Sidibottom.
Ah. Where's he live?
Wait a bit. I've got his card here somewhere. Oh, here we are. Councillor Hubert Sidibottom, 24 Dovecot Walk, Flareham Lights. Telephone number...
He's never got a telephone.
So, here. Telephone number, Flareham 96.
Well, there's posh. Let's see. Councillor Hubert... Where'd you get this city baton business from?
Well, that's how he says it.
Oh, ah. Well, it's Sidebottom. Bert Sidebottom. And what's more, I know him from way back. Got a very old score to settle with Mr. Bert Sidebottom.
Later that same evening, Councillor Sidebottom, which was his real name, likewise received a visitor.
Come in, come in. Yes, Edwards, what is it?
There's a female person to see you, sir.
Who is she?
She declined to give her name, sir.
Then send her on her way.
The person is most persistent. Positively insists, sir.
Insists, be damned. What do you think I keep a butler for? Get rid of her.
With all due respect, sir, the person gave me to understand that she was known to you.
Not without a name, she isn't. Now get rid of her.
But Victoria was not easily put off. And in less than half a minute, she had dismissed Edward, the butler, and was informing the dumbfounded councillor that he'd do well to sit down. And when he refused, plonked him down.
Right, Bert Sidebottom. I'm here to settle an old score.
The name, madam, is Sidibottom. What's more, I'm on council.
I don't care if you're on Flareham Pier. And never mind this Sidibottom rubbish. Sidebottom's your name as ever was. Now then, what's to do with this house in Beehive Lane? She's my cousin, is Matilda Entwistle.
Oh, is she? Well, that house is mine, fair and square, missus.
The name's Vicky Devine, otherwise known as Davenport. I'm sure you haven't forgotten your visits to the Oxford Music Hall.
What?
And the pert little soubrette with auburn curls. She's not so pert now. Filled out a bit since those days.
Well, I'll go to the foot of our stairs.
And Councillor Sidebottom's face went a nasty shade of grey. Little Vicky, as was, took from her bag a scent bottle and began dabbing away at the councillor's forehead. Suddenly, he caught hold of her wrist and inspected the bottle more closely.
I know this.
I should think you do. Must have cost you all of 5 shillings.
5 bob? I'll have you know that cost me every penny of 5 pounds. It came from Burlington Arcade, that did.
Cheaper than getting wed, though, isn't it? Oh, there's a mean streak in you, Bert Sidebottom. Always was. And now I think you're dishonest as well.
If you're intimating that I cheated your cousin...
Which is exactly what Victoria intimated, and more besides. She called him mean, unscrupulous, and that she wouldn't trust him as far as she could stroke him, which wouldn't be far on account of his girth. She then reminded him of another June, 25 years ago, when she was going to be a June bride. But now she told him she realized the narrow escape she'd had. Councillor Sidebottom denied he'd ever mentioned marriage to her, which was worse than a red rag to a bull. And after a few more choice words, Victoria demanded to know what he wanted with Matilda's house anyway, when he got a palace like this.
I want in the site for an orphanage.
You? Building an orphanage? Bert Sidebottom, philanthropist? That's a likely story. I can't see you building a sandcastle.
I'm donating the site.
Why? Thinking of becoming mayor or something? Oh, so that's it. sacrificing my cousin just so you can look benevolent and get yourself elected mayor of Flareham. Well, you won't look so good when I've done with you. I don't think they'll be so impressed when I tell everyone as how you walked out on your own wedding.
Oh.
Deserted me for a lass who had a bit more brass. Not to mention you being mean and dishonest.
You would.
Oh, wouldn't I? Now, just you listen to me. I'm giving you 7 days to change your mind about that house. And if you don't, your name won't be fit to mention even in the men-only bar, so think on.
Councillor Sidebottom took a mere 4 days before calling at the two cousins' house, pleading that he'd virtually promised the council that the foundation stone to the orphanage would be laid before the end of the year. But Victoria didn't budge, pointing out that he hadn't a leg to stand upon anyway.
When a man dies, his debts die with him. You know that as well as I do.
She further told him that she wanted that promissory note personally handed over to her cousin Matilda by Sunday or else. Sunday arrived, and so did Councillor Sidebottom, wheedling and pleading and telling her that she drove a hard bargain, but again, Victoria would not budge.
The note. It'll do you no good to keep it.
Oh, yeah.
This is Matilda.
Aye. Oh, what a relief.
And here's an end to it.
And the note was torn to shreds and set like two in the empty grate. But Councillor Sidebottom hadn't given up yet.
How much do you want for this place?
Oh, dear. Should we tell him?
Tell me what?
Well, you see, that the house is not for sale.
What? But I was led to believe that if the note was handed over, You mean you're just going to sit there knowing how much this place means to me?
No, Councillor, we're moving out.
The
place is already sold.
What? Sold? To who?
Alice Pocock.
What?
Ah, Mrs. Moneybags herself. Your wife. I called on her only the other day. Seems her brother Arthur's also quite keen on an orphanage.
You wait. You mean she knows about you and
Councillor, Victoria kept her side of the bargain.
And we got a thumping good price.
How much?
7,000.
Pounds?
No, guineas.
Oh.
Victoria, clever Councillor.
Oh, very. What with the 3,000 I lent your father and the 7,000 Alice gave you, why, that means this place has cost me 10,000 pounds. Oh, I'm ruined. Ruined.
Oh, don't be like that, Mr. Sidian. Sidebottom, let me get you some of my ginger wine. Very soothing for the nurse.
So, they all had some of Matilda Entwistle's homemade ginger wine. Though it was little consolation to Councillor Sidebottom, for he was never elected mayor, nor was he asked to serve on the council again. Still, a debt repaid, his money well spent. Here, the bottle is yours. May it remind you to keep clear of debts, moral or otherwise. Good afternoon. Do try and pop by again soon. That was Tales of Antiquity with Valerie Dunlop, Linda Stewart, Dennis Solbig and James White. Written and produced by Kenneth Hendrell.